This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
You know, over the years, I've met some incredible people in the pet industry, and it's the animals that connect us on a very deep level. So what might be awkward when you're meeting someone for the first time becomes very comfortable when there's a dog or a cat between you, connecting you. And this is an example today of a new friend who I met through a mutual friend through helping animals. His name is Joe Gianti, and he is the founder of Canine Heroes for Heroes, which provides service dogs to veterans and first responders. And what he's doing is amazing. We're going to learn more about it right after we come back from a break from our sponsor. So you're listening to Jody Teich on the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and we're going to be right back. So grab that healthy beverage, get comfortable. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. I'm Jody Teich, your host. As I mentioned, we're here with a new friend of mine, Joe Gianti, who is doing something really beautiful in the world when it comes to dogs and veterans and first responders, people that are so important in our lives, who hold a place oftentimes in the background, and we don't realize just how much they do for us. So I want to welcome Joe today, and I want him to tell us all about what he's doing. Welcome, Joe.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction. Completely honored. And you're right, they often are in the background. But as they say, look for the name on the front of the uniform, not the back. They are the true heroes in this, you know, in this world.
Yeah.
So Canine Heroes for Heroes, we are a 501c3, and our mission, as you said, is to provide service dogs to veterans and first responders at no cost to them. We know the challenges that they face, either active duty military, veterans, or first responders. What they're seeing or have seen on a routine basis has scarred them in some ways. So our goal is to get them those dogs, because we know what these dogs can do, the comfort they can bring, as well as the tasks they can perform as a service dog, which allows them to reintegrate back in society the way they want. These dogs, in my opinion, they have an unlimited ability in the tasks that they can perform. So I kind of came about Canine Heroes for Heroes. You know, my dad was in the service. My father-in-law was in the service. I'm a lifelong martial artist, and my instructor was a police officer. And I spent some time at the Virginia Military Institute. And a lot of the guys I went to school with, they ended up going in the service. I did not, but this is how I'm going to give back. So I have such a love and admiration for anyone that has chosen to put on the uniform, whether that's military or police and fire, any first responder. So again, you can see if you're watching this, you know, I'm a little gray in the beard, so I'm too old to serve now. This is how I'm going to give back.
I love that, Joe. I love that. Do you have any memories growing up with your dad being in the service? Stories that, yeah, he might have told, or things you might have noticed?
So my dad was in between Korea and Vietnam. He was in from 61 to 63 as active and then inactive. So, you know, we used to play with his uniforms and his hat, you know, and he'd talk about his time in Korea, because that was the first time he had ever flown or did anything like that. You know, small Italian family, you know, they came over on the boat. They were poor, and so they didn't travel. So it was kind of neat to hear the stories. I remember him saying when he got to Korea, there was a sign that said, "Welcome, GI, for in July you die." And he was all scared. And the guy said, somebody told him, "Nah, it's been here since the war started. So don't worry about it." Okay. You know, so just in his, again, being an immigrant family, the love for this country, you know, we were always a patriotic family, knowing that, you know, there are men and women that laid down their lives for our freedoms, and not to forget that. You know, when my great-great-grandfather was in World War I as still an Italian citizen, but he was in the American Army. Now, if you know about some history, he could have been arrested because in Italy they had mandatory conscription. So it's just been kind of a part in our family, the patriotism in one way or another to serve. And again, I can't serve now, I'm too old. So this is how I want to give back. And it is, I'm humbled every time I run across our veterans or first responders, because they don't want any accolades. They don't want notice. You know, I thank everyone for their service. They don't even want that. Some of them don't even like that, but I can't help it because I am thankful for their service. And no, you know, not only them, but their families. You know, their families give up so much. And you think about a first responder, when he leaves for the day, he or she leaves for the day, they don't know if they're coming back. And that's a scary thought.
Very scary thought. And also there is this intense level of camaraderie, this deep relationship between the men and women in a particular regimen, maybe, or team. What have you seen of that with the people that you know and your own family?
So what you see with a lot of them is when they get out of the military service, they become first responders because they want that. They still have that desire to serve. So I see that often in the people that we run across outside of my family. And I have a great friend. He's another brother to me. He was in the Marine Corps. His son went in the Marine Corps, and now he's serving in a different capacity. So you see that it doesn't end with the military service. A lot of times they do jump into that first responder. And running across canine handlers in both the military and the police, I'm blown away. You know, if you could put that way back hat on and do it over again, I'd be a canine handler in the military. But those days, you know, those days are gone. But being able to hear the stories of what they've done, what they're doing, and what these dogs do. You know, I tell people a lot, I know what Loki does for me. People that follow Canine Heroes for Heroes, they see Loki. Loki's the face of the business. As I tell people, I got a face for radio, and would you rather look at Loki or me? And I'm okay with the answer being Loki.
We're going to talk more about Loki in a minute, but yes.
Yeah, so it's knowing what these dogs are capable of doing, both in the service of our country or our communities, or in the service of our veterans and first responders.
Yeah. And you know, you see these images of the big German Shepherd wrapped around the neck on the shoulders of the servicemen on the field. And you can't help but think about, because, you know, this is a pet health show, you can't help but think about what these animals do to help save these young men and women.
Yeah.
Who are experiencing such incredible levels of stress every day. And so are the dogs. So are the dogs, but what they do for each other.
One of the things I learned, I went to a police canine conference last year, about this time last year in Pittsburgh, myself and our head trainer. It was a 3-day conference, and went to a few canine medic classes. And one of the things I learned, and you may not even be aware of this, the average time from a dog getting wounded in combat, if it got hit by an IED, typically they didn't survive. But if they were shot, the instructor of the class was a canine medic for the special forces. And he said it was 22 days from time a dog was injured till they were back actively working in the field. Now, that blew my mind.
Wow.
I did not know they had that kind of recovery.
Yeah.
And yeah. So what we've gained in there, and you think about what these dogs are doing, they're doing it for their ball, for their Kong, for their tug toy.
Yes. They don't understand the intricacies and why people go to war and all of that terrible stuff. Yeah, it is truly amazing. So let's talk about Loki for a sec.
So I got Loki from Mike Deal. People that are in the dog world know who Mike Deal is. He was a canine handler for the Indianapolis Police Department, but a world champion competitor as well.
Okay.
So I got Loki from him. with the thought always in mind that he was going to be the face of Canine Heroes for Heroes, because before I even had him, I knew I wanted to do this. And I needed a strong dog, well-bred, well-mannered, that could handle that. Because as you know, not all dogs can be service dogs. So from day one, we began the socialization process, whether that was going out to Walmart, whether that was going to Home Depot, wherever. We began the process of obviously getting the obedience has to be spot on, but getting him acclimated to being out in public and ignoring everything else. Now, he's still learning. He's only 3 years old. So it's as you know, it's a never ending process.
Did you get him as a puppy?
Yeah, I've had him since he was 7 weeks old.
Okay.
So 7 weeks in a day. Yeah, 7 weeks in a day, we were in Walmart. He goes to the gym with me. He goes to church with me. And I know what he does for me. And I know we talk about you don't compare traumas, you don't compare whatever, but I have not been through squat compared to what our veterans and first responders have been through. And I know what he does for me. The funny thing, the other day, I was in church. Mind was wandering, not in a good way. You know, I was kind of thinking of things, and he got up and did his job. He got my mind off of what I was thinking of. And it, I mean, I'm kind of tearing up a little bit right now.
What did he do?
He just broke my concentration. And that's what they're supposed to do. So then I had to focus on him. And we really haven't worked on that a whole lot. And it just, he did exactly what he should do. And there's another video, if you go through some of our social media, again, I have to give a ton of credit to our head trainer, Travis Lloyd. We partner with American Canine Dynamics. They're a full service kennel. Just amazing, amazing group of trainers. But Travis allowed us to share a real life, real-time video of his service dog performing her task. He was sitting in a waiting room, and he spent about 8 years in Afghanistan as a civilian contractor. So he's seen, you know, he was beside the military. May not have been the guy behind the rifle, but he was right beside him. And he credits his service dog with saving his life. And this video, if you go back, I think it's about a month ago, you can see he's struggling. And he puts little captions below, and Cairo, which is his service dog, performs her task, gets him his mind off of what he was focused on and back onto her. And it's amazing. Out of any post I've ever put up, that's got the most traction, which I love, because people are seeing what these dogs do. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we know how intuitive they are, how connected they are with us and we with them.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense that when they're trained, and, you know, these dogs that are chosen as service dogs are extremely trainable, that when they're trained coupled with their intuition, it's a super, super powerful combination. I mean, I saw a video of you in the gym and Loki putting his paw on you.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So what we were doing there is working on deep pressure therapy. So, you know, being in the dog world, you do everything in a controlled setting first, and then you go into public and you proof the behavior. So what I was doing there was proofing the behavior. I gave him the sign. It was a tap in my leg. If my hand started tapping my leg, he was to come over and do the deep pressure therapy and lay across me. And I was so happy because he performed it flawlessly. You know, just, it was awesome. And I explained to the other people in the gym, because it's a group fitness class that I do. So I explained to them what he had just done, because the more we can educate the people, because people, if they don't see that physical wound, missing an arm, missing a leg, a limp, wheelchair, they don't always realize there's still the need for the service dog. There's the PTSD, there's the TBI. So people, sometimes if they don't see that physical disability, like, oh, you don't need a service dog. It's just, you don't understand. And what I've been able to do lately is explain to people why you do not interact with a service dog. Because people, not everybody knows that. That service dog needs to be focused on their handler. If you let that service dog get treats and pets and everything while you're out in public from somebody else, then that dog's focus is going to look outward instead of staying inward. Like when we first started training Loki for the service dog, I made a really big deal about putting his vest on, or harness, I call it, to him. If I say harness, he dips his head, puts his harness on, and he knows he's in working mode. And his behavior is different. When the harness is off, people can love on him and pet on him because he's just a pet. And I'll do that at different events or around people I'm very comfortable with, I'll say, okay, I'm going to take his vest off and you can love on him.
That is really interesting, Joe. So are you comfortable sharing why he was taught the pressure move for you?
It was if my mind starts going somewhere else that it doesn't need to go.
So it is to bring you back to present.
Yes.
And get you out of any dark places that you don't want yourself to go.
Exactly. That's what the deep pressure therapy is.
Interesting.
And if you watch that video of Travis with his service dog, it's almost imperceptible what the dog does. She just reaches up just a little nudge. Now, there are ones that will actually lay across or put a lot of pressure on their handler. And it all depends on if that's what's needed. Mm-hmm. Now, I can roll into kind of the one veteran we're working with right now, if you like. She's an Air Force veteran. She's got now probably an 8-month-old German Shepherd. And they're becoming such a strong team. Now, we give all the basic obedience first. They all have to have the sit, the different obedience you're going to see in any dog. And then you start putting the tasks on. Well, she had texted Travis and told him about an event. She had some night terrors. And we hadn't even worked a whole lot with Bella is her name, the dog, and Debbie is the handler. She was having a night terror, and Bella jumped up on the bed and did that deep pressure therapy, woke her up, was able to bring her back to where she was. She was ecstatic that, you know, that this happened. And, you know, it sends chills just to know, because she's such a wonderful woman, and getting to see her being more comfortable out in public and coming to different things. It's awesome.
Did she serve in Afghanistan?
No, she was out before then. But the other thing people need to realize, whether you are a combat veteran or not, that PTS can be there. Now, I'm not going to go into all her stuff just out of, you know, for her own privacy, but the PTSD and the trauma can come from many things. Now, there's civilians that have it. Maybe it's a rape victim or domestic abuse or things, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Yes.
So,
but this is interesting too, Joe, because this is another piece of therapy, of, you know, psychiatry or of just general emotional therapy, where the dog, yes, we know the dog provides comfort, companionship, non-judgmental presence, but this pressure therapy to get somebody out of that dark place, I mean, that is interesting. It's not something I know a lot about that these dogs do with people that have PTSD, their handlers.
Yeah. Now, all service dogs have to perform 3 tasks minimum to be considered a service dog. So it can be that deep pressure therapy, could be going to pick up your keys or something to that. We teach a block and a cover. That way you could put the dog in a cover and you know nobody's going to come up behind you. You could put the dog in a block in front of you, and then it keeps that distance with you and the person in front of you. One of the things I'm training for Loki is, as I get older and maybe my mobility isn't where it should be, if we're in the store and I'm looking at something on the bottom shelf, I push on him to stand up. I don't need it yet, but I want him to know that pressure is a good thing. He's there to help me. So he's learned that pressure is a good thing. We'll go out for a hike and I'll grab his harness and make him maybe pull me up a set of stairs or the hill. Again, to get him used to that, it's getting them acclimated to these different scenarios. One of the things our head trainer did is he had a litter of Malinois puppies. Now, most of those are going to go to either the sport world, the police world, but 7-8 weeks old, these dogs are eating their food, standing in water or on bubble wrap or on a tarp to desensitize them. It was amazing. I loved it.
Well, Malinois, they need a job. That's for sure.
Yes, they do. And you know, that's what people don't realize about just the pets as well. They need something to do.
They all do in varying degrees, but they all do.
Yeah, they get
my Chihuahua sleeping over there. The biggest job is getting up and down off of the chair so she can lay behind me. That's the job she likes.
That's a lot of work for a Chihuahua.
Yes. We're going to take a short break, Joe.
Okay.
For a quick word from our sponsor. But when we come back, we have more stories that Joe is going to tell about people and dogs that he's working with, as well as a famous dog that he recently did a fundraiser for. And we're going to learn all about that. So don't go away. Refresh that beverage. Get cozy. We'll be right back.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. out again.
Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to CatTreeTray.com. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com. DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Holiday designs include feathered Tammy hats and a lot of sparkle. Stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. DesignerPetSweaters.com. Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Yes, for my pets, sparkle and love, under the tree, from heaven above. Yes, for my pets, joy in the air, unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Pet Health Coach with Jody Teich on Pet Life Radio. And we're here today with Joe Gianti from Canine Heroes for Heroes, an amazing 501c3 that pairs service dogs with veterans as well as first responders at no charge to them. And we're talking about some great stories that Joe is sharing with us about people that he's working with and dogs that he's working with that are connected now as teams and what they've done in each other's lives. Thanks, Joe. Share some.
You're more than welcome. So one of the other things we are able to do, and one of the things we talk about beyond the service dogs, we want to be able to provide information to our veterans. So the reason I say that is my vice president, Megan Wald, lives in Kansas City, and the sire of her German Shepherd had gotten an accident and lost its leg, and the owners needed to rehome the dog. She was able to find an active duty Marine Corps individual and pair this dog with him. Now, I don't think he realized he needed a dog. And, you know, the dog didn't realize he needed a new owner, but they met, and that team is inseparable. I was able to travel up there and see him and see the dog and just see the bond they've developed already. I did bring up Megan, and I'm not sharing anything she hasn't already shared. Megan had a battle with cancer. And her German Shepherd, they turned into her service dog. Her husband's a Marine Corps veteran, and their other Shepherd right now, they're working on him as a service dog for him. So when she trained Fee to be her service dog, it was just that ability to be there, know what she needed when she needed it. And it's amazing. We were invited down to Georgia. It's called the Veterans Barbecue Camp, started by a Marine Corps veteran. He brings veterans in from all over and teaches them how to smoke meat, which I didn't realize the science behind that. But there was a veteran there with his service dog. So it was nice to see. And the Loki, and I can't remember his service dog's name, shame on me, but they were able to occupy the same space and still perform their functions, even with another dog, which is key. These dogs have to be able to be around other dogs and not be distracted. But the benefit is I was able to learn where his service dog came from. I've reached out to them. Now they're in my database because we're a small startup service dog company. If I get a call from somebody in Texas or California, I'm not really going to be able to help them right away with Canine Heroes for Heroes, but I can direct them to somebody that can. I tell people, I don't have to be the person that gives you the dog. I want want you to have a dog. If that can be me and everybody donates to us, outstanding. But I want them to have the dog because I know what it can do. So,
yeah, that's amazing, Joe. Tell us a little bit about Loki's personality. What's he like when he's being a dog?
Oh, sometimes he lives up to his name. Being that mischievous, sometimes he turns into a goof. We'll go outside with his ball on a string and he'll amuse himself. He'll hold it by the string and whip it around. And it's just funny to watch him. Or he chases his tail. I'm like, you're supposed to be this intelligent, well-trained service dog. And you're going nuts because this tail is behind you.
So I love watching that on dogs. It's the cutest thing ever.
Oh, they my gosh.
I wonder, do they know when it's like they're all in on the game, or do they really think it's a separate being on the back of them?
Yeah.
Get off.
It's hilarious. And the funny thing is I go take him to get his nail trimmed and you'd think they were killing him. He's such a baby. And I'm like, you're an embarrassment. You're supposed to be this well-trained dog. But he's doing
it. Yeah.
Great.
Well, you're all going to get a chance to see Loki on the Pet Health Coach page of the Pet Life Radio site. So
I appreciate that.
To see who we're talking about. Now, there's another dog, combat dog, who has a great story, is pretty well known. And tell us what happened with Benno.
So Benno was part of the 75th Ranger Regiment. And during his final deployment in Afghanistan, he was killed. He was sent out to neutralize a terrorist. The terrorist was able to get some shots off and kill him. Now, they were able to neutralize a terrorist, but Benno gave his life in service for this country, his handlers. If you go to our fundraiser site, there's a link to a History Channel documentary done on Benno. Benno was also on an HBO documentary. And then for the people that are familiar with the movie Dog with Channing Tatum, Trent, who was Benno's handler, and we are so blessed that he's letting us honor Benno in this way. But he actually does a cameo in the movie as the kennel master. He gives Channing Tatum the dog. But Benno, one of the things Trent talks about is the bond they formed. Now, Benno was rough. Benno actually got kicked out of Iraq. I think they were getting ready to kick the dog out of Afghanistan. He was just unmanageable. So
what would he do?
Bite everybody.
Okay.
Good guys, bad guys. And Trent explains in one of the podcasts he was on, when they were in Afghanistan, they got hit by an IED. And Benno started muzzle punching Trent to wake him up. And at that point, that solidified their relationship, and they were inseparable. Trent's got some social media pages up, and he actually recently posted, I believe it's drone footage of Benno's final deployment. You can see just the little black dots, and you can see Benno being released, and that's the end of it. Now, he did have a second dog after that named Leica. Leica, almost a month to the day, took 3 rounds from an AK-47, and they had to actually take her leg. But she survived, she retired, he retired, and he still has her to this day. But the one thing Trent says, if you want to talk about Leica, you have to let me talk about Benno, because he had Benno so much longer. Benno's credentials are amazing. Just the number of deployments, the number of IED finds, the number of terrorists that he had taken down. It's just an amazing story. And for him to allow us to honor Benno in this way, being a startup, we met him through a mutual friend who was also a Ranger canine handler, Pat Lesser. So I have to give him credit for making that connection. And I always send Trent updates on where we're at, because the goal is $15,000 is what we're trying to raise. The average price of a service dog can go anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 and up. It all depends on what that dog's being tasked to do. The more tasks, the higher the cost. But the one thing we do is, once that dog is trained, we don't, okay, goodbye. No, we want you to come back. We want to do refresher training, because the hardest part about training these dogs is training the handler and making sure that bond is there. You know, I'll admit, our first service dog came back. The pairing wasn't good. And that happens. So we learned a lot from that. And the other blessing I have had is service dogs throughout the country companies have reached out to help me. There's one called Mutts with a Mission out of Virginia, very large service dog company. As soon as I started, he reached out, said, hey, let me email you our application. Why should you start over? And then Forgotten Coast Canines out of Florida, same thing. We're in touch all the time. I can reach out and ask these guys a question, and they're right there. There's a service dog company about an hour and a half from me. The current raffle item for this milestone, they donated. So we all want to work together.
Yeah, people come out of the woodwork to help causes that have to do with helping animals and certainly putting animals together with people in need. Yeah. And helping both. So it's heartwarming to hear that. And the next question really is, where can people find you to donate? And the money that they donate goes towards training a service dog to help a veteran or first responder at no charge to them, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I don't take a dime. I don't get paid for it. Maybe someday if we're big enough, but right now I want all the money going to the service dogs. Obviously, I've got to do the marketing and things of that nature, but the money goes to them, and I'm more than willing to open my books up to anybody that wants to look at it. Right now, we're on the major social media platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm trying to get the website up and running a little slower than I had hoped, but that's more on me than anybody. We're as Canine Heroes for Heroes. It's the letter K, number 9, and the number 4. But yeah, all my contact information is all over. You know, somebody can reach right out to me. And we've got a lot of exciting things coming up with this fundraiser. There's a couple car shows in the Ohio area that directly benefit us. We recently received a $5,000 donation from a local American Legion post. And I'm going to put this out there now. I haven't posted it yet, but we received a $25,000 donation from a prominent family in our area, which I will be posting soon. I was blown away. You know, when people are willing to put their money behind our mission, I'm just truly humbled. Every veteran I meet, every first responder I meet humbles me. And again, these people that are willing to put out their money. We do work with a local semi-pro basketball team. He just sent me the advertisement, one of their games. They're going to do a 50-50 raffle that benefits us. We're kind of their unofficial mascot. Loki and I go, and which is another amazing thing. If you look on one of the posts, you'll see Loki sitting or laying down in the middle of the court and somebody slamming the basketball behind him.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. So it worked out pretty good.
That is impressive, because most dogs would be out of there in 1 second.
Well, and what they don't see is it took 2 takes. You know, obviously I only put the right
two. That's it. Yeah.
And he stayed there the whole time. So that, you know, it makes me smile. And one of the things people see with Loki is they'll see him do things that normal service dog wouldn't. Some of the fancy stuff, but that's to draw attention so that people do come over to me and ask me, hey, what is this Canine Heroes for Heroes all about? So yeah, they can find us on all the social media platforms. Feel free to email, text, smoke signals, one way or another. I'll figure it out.
Tell us one of the fancy things that he does.
He'll do the going between my legs forward and backwards. And when I kneel down, he kneels down.
There's a viral, you know, YouTube video or Instagram video with this woman.
Oh, it's some of these are amazing. I always tell people, one of Travis's trainers at American Canine Dynamics, I tell people, you see how well Loki is. His dog makes Loki look like he has no obedience. I mean, his dog's phenomenal. So I love being in this industry, and the people I have met, 99.5% of them have been phenomenal. You being one of them. I cannot thank you enough for having us on here.
Back at you. It has been a blessing to meet you. Thank you, Michael Overly.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
And I love your mission. It is a beautiful mission, and you're a beautiful person. So
thank you.
Send me a link. It'll go on the show page of where people can go to donate.
Okay.
And the events that you have coming up, you know, maybe this car event or whatever in the Ohio area, send me a link for that too. We'll put that up on the show page.
Absolutely.
If anybody in that area or somebody who's interested and not too far away can come and participate and do something good.
And what I tell people too is, if you have an event you want us to be a part of, Loki and I travel quite well. He's actually flown 8 times already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Joe, for being
thank
with
you.
Us.
God bless.
You as well. And thank you all for listening. As a pet health coach, my mission is to share holistic options for pets and their parents seeking a natural approach to wellness. And part of that is mental health. And today is a perfect example of how what Joe does helps the people and the animals with improved mental health and well-being. And a pet health coach is your champion. Some of you may not know what a pet health coach does. We are a bridge between you and your vet, where you are empowered through knowledge, resources, accountability, and support that a good health coach provides. So tune in next time for the information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant lives we can. I'm Jody Teich, and this is the Pet Health Coach.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.